All right. I don't know if you heard all of that, but what he's saying here, do you guys know who this is? Neil deGrasse Tyson, really smart guy. He's known for being real smart and knowing lots about like astrophysics and all this stuff, right? And so what he's saying here, he's going to do this master class and teach people basically how to like look at evidence and look at things and go, hey, I'm going to be objective and find objective truth. And so like his whole deal is like he's exploring how we can find objective truth. So here's a scientist who is all about like the Big Bang and evolution and these other like very secular philosophies, who will tell you like, I'm not against God, but like, I just don't see evidence for him right now. He's like, I'm very open to it. If someone were able to come up to me and convince me of it, I would have an open heart to believe that there is a God who created everything. He said, I don't think it's an impossibility when I look around me. So he's doing this class and he's talking about how important it is that we know. And when he says we, he doesn't mean the church. He doesn't mean Christians. He means people, that you and I, that everyone knows how to be able to look around and figure out what truth is. And he calls it objective truth. So not this like very opinionated, like subjective truth where you kind of come up with your own opinion on things and decide for yourself what truth is. And so like we hear this theme and it's repeated more and more, especially today, because listen, I don't have to tell you guys, like our culture now is kind of crazy. It's kind of saying like everybody has their own like ability to look out around them and say, this is just what I believe and I'm claiming it is true. And then we're supposed to just be like, okay, that's true then because they said it. It's their opinion and their opinion means that's their truth. And they're calling that individual truth. Well, what happens when everybody claims a different thing? Well, that's the culture we live in because everyone is just looking at around them and saying, this is what I believe is true, therefore it is. And I'm supposed to respect this person's opinion as objective truth. And so now you even have these secular guys coming out being like, no, we need to retalk this as a culture. We need to know what this like actual truth looks like. How do we figure out what an objective truth is? Because if we don't, as a society, we're gonna be in a really bad place. And listen, that's not coming from the church. That's not coming from the Bible. That's not a bunch of pastors standing around and doing that. These are secular scientists and philosophers who are warning us like we're going down a very, very dangerous path. And so tonight, kind of the third part in the series that we've been walking through, we talked about how God will give you things that you can't handle on purpose, right? So that you will turn to him and trust him. And then we talked about how he's going to ask us to do something that we can't handle, something that's above us, to love others in a way that only Jesus could do. And it causes us to say, Jesus, you're the most important thing in my life. And I find my greatest joy and satisfaction in you. So no matter what happens, what trials or pain or suffering exist in my life, I'm cool because I have Jesus. And he's where I find my greatest satisfaction and joy. And then tonight, we're ending this kind of three-part series with truth. If we know that, right, and we love the way God is asking us to love, then we're going to do it like Jesus did it. And we're going to dive into that in just a minute. But for real quick, I just want to show you this quote as we start. This quote here is, if you control the definition of words, you control a culture. So read that again to yourself. If you control the definition of words, you control the culture. This is a really, what I find to be a pretty profound quote because it's describing what's happening in our society, really around the world. That people who are redefining how we call, like, what we call everything from a woman, like what is a woman? Well, we don't know. And they're trying to like redefine all of these terms. And they're also, because they're doing that, they tend to be controlling our culture, and our culture is going exactly how these people have asked us to believe. Just look at woke theology, woke theory, and the ideas that are put into our minds from that. Starting off with like some really good, solid premises that turn into some just absolutely redefining things on gender and identity and things that God has been very clear with us about. That for thousands of years, it's been written for us, in front of us, to read so we can know exactly what God has done in his blueprints when he created you and I, when he created the universe. And they're wanting to redefine that. And because of that, they're also able to kind of control our culture around us. And so we have to be really careful about the definitions that we believe and the people that we listen to. So Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to kind of base in tonight. Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15, as we talk about what this truth is. It says this, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. The part of this that I want to focus on tonight are these three elements right in the middle of those verses where it says speaking the truth in love. And I'm sure that's not a new phrase for you guys. Most of you have heard that on repeat for a very long time. If you've ever gone to church, these are words that we use. But you know how I often have thought of this in the past is I've used this verse to remind me to be nice while I'm scolding someone, right? Like, I got to tell the truth and really set this person straight because they're just wrong, but I better do it with love so that I'm not just totally offensive, right? And so sometimes that verse has only served as this reminder to be kind as I try to correct people, which is totally not at all what it's saying. Maybe a little bit, but that is not the force of this verse. And so as we look, let's tear it apart and see what it actually is, because it starts off with this word speak, and speak is an active word, right? It's a verb. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. The focus isn't necessarily on the love. That was almost like this given by this point in the passage as Paul's talking. The speak is really where he probably would have put the emphasis, like you need to speak the truth in love. And so let's look at it through that filter tonight, because we're going to have to understand truth in order to be able to speak truth. So let's check out the world's definition for truth. Let's start off there tonight. The world would say this. Today's definition of truth is what one decides to believe. What one decides to believe about themselves, about the world around them. Basically, that each person's entitled to their own truth. That would be how we would define that today in our culture. And it's everywhere. If you don't believe me, there are movies, there are social media. Let me show you one trailer from a movie that came out in 2017. It's a story you might know about that happened in real life. Check this out real quick and see what it says. She did that. If you know the story at all, she was a figure skater who basically smashed the leg of her greatest opponent. But did you hear how the movie started? She's saying like, hey, like everyone has their own truth. And this movie won all sorts of awards, is highlighting one of the most like popular stories of a real life thing that happened with like these big actors. These are the things we're hearing. These are the messages that are being pounded into our minds every single day. You've got your own truth. Believe your own truth. Let people be. Just let them do life, right? If they're not bothering anybody, why bother them and try to correct them on their truth? Just leave them alone. But I want you to hear the first word of these three that we're talking about tonight was what? It was speak. Like we don't get the option to just sit back and just leave them alone because it's not hurting anyone, because what's happening is it is hurting someone. It's hurting them, first and foremost, when they're believing lies and accepting a truth that they've invented in their own minds. And so as believers and ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we're literally given this mission that is to speak the truth in love. And too many Christians today have listened to culture and listened to these people telling us over and over, leave them alone, everyone has their own truth. And you can almost just hear the voice of Satan saying, hey, Christians, just sit down and be quiet. Where God has commanded us as his children to stand up and be loud, to stand up and speak that truth, to bring it to the world that can't find truth on their own. It's actually impossible for them because they don't have a place to find it. It's only found in Jesus. And so God's definition of truth, I think, is in John 14, 6. We're going to throw on the screen for you. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you're here tonight, you're like, I'm a believer in Jesus. Do you know that you hold in your heart and in your life the truth? Because you have Jesus, and there's an entire world that has no access to that truth because they don't have Jesus. You have the very thing they need. And Satan has convinced the church to sit back and be quiet and leave people alone. If we do that for too long, how many people will die without ever knowing the truth? Without ever knowing Jesus? And we have him. If you don't know the truth, then you don't know how to love or be loved either. Because truth informs us on how to love. So speaking the truth in love, we can't love because we don't know the truth. We won't know what true love even looks like. And so people will tell you, they'll say, hey, listen, Jesus, he is just full of grace. There is even this, I don't know how you feel about it or not. We don't have to debate it, or you can debate me later, whatever. But during the Super Bowl, there were these commercials on like Jesus would just like chill with these people type deal. And like their sin never came into question ever. Just be cool with people. Just sit with people. Just listen to people. Just be like, okay, and love people and show tons of grace to people. But never once does it say people need to know that they're sinners so that they know they need to be saved. If you don't tell me that I need anything, I'm not going to look for the thing. If I don't think I'm dying and need to be rescued, I'm not going to wait for a rescuer. I'm not going to look for a savior. But that message is clearly being spoken that Christians should just be these sheep that just sit back and do nothing and be quiet and don't reach out and don't let people know that they're headed to disaster. And so they only focus on the grace, but the Bible clearly says Jesus is full of grace and truth, right? It couples those two things. It's not 50-50 of both or one or the other. Jesus is full of grace. And so those commercials I just mentioned, they're right, but they're not complete. We should show grace and love and kindness, but we should also speak truth. 100% of that. You know, we show love one way, right? And maybe someone else might show love a different way. And we could sit down and we could debate it and talk about the best way to show love. Maybe you came up tonight, you're like, man, here's how I show love to people. I'm this type of personality. And I was like, well, sweet, that's your truth, man. And my truth is, and then I just punch you straight in the face. There you go, dude. That's how I show love, buddy. Like, and are you going to be cool with that? Like, that's fine. Like, I totally accept that you just broke my nose and I'm going to the hospital because you were showing me love and that's just how you do it. All of a sudden, we'd be like, wait a minute, no, that's not cool. Who are you to step in all of a sudden and say that's not cool? You just said everyone's truth is their own. You just told me to sit down and be quiet and not tell people if they're not bothering anybody, right? Like, it doesn't matter what people believe. Well, then it shouldn't matter now either. But all of a sudden, when it becomes personal, now we step up and we're like, hold on. You see, it's not based on your own heart and your own opinion. It is based on Jesus Christ and God's word because it's unchanging and it's forever. Romans tells us, it says, professing themselves to be wise in their own eyes, they became fools. There are so many people, including people in churches and Christians and pastors who are getting on stages and pretending to preach from the Bible, but they're leaving out the truth. And so they're professing to be wise. This is how we should do things. And really, we're becoming fools because we're creating our own truth. So many people, like, man, I'm going through a hard time. You know what we do? We pick up, like, social media and check out, like, motivational things on, like, Instagram or whatever. And we're just like, dude, yeah, oh, there's some good, like, advice. And we're getting most of our advice and theology and motivation from social media that's posted by, like, who knows who. When right in front of us, we have the word of God that is absolute truth. Why is that not the first place we go? Because the culture is convincing us that truth is just relative. And it's about making your heart feel good. Find your truth. Feel better about yourself. And we're going to see in a second when we talk about love, the culture is doing the exact same thing with love. It's about you making yourself feel good, making your heart healthy, making you have like really good like mental state and all this stuff. It's not about you. Neither one of these things are about you. They're both found in Jesus. They're both about sacrifice. They're both about others. They're both about looking to Christ. And not once am I the center of that. But the world wants to make it selfish and self-centered. And that's where we know for sure Satan is involved in this. Satan wants us to believe this lie because he's putting me at the center of the story instead of Jesus at the center of the story. Proverbs tells us the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So if you want to have truth in your life and this wisdom that comes from truth, you fear the Lord first and you listen to his word and you say, God, if you said it, it might sound so crazy to our culture and they might be saying such different things, but I'm believing you over them. Seniors who are going to college, listen, you are going to face it every single day. Probably even at Christian colleges. I went to one, I know. You will sit under professors and talk to other students who are going to be riding the latest trends and thinking that they've figured out what no one else could for thousands of years. And they're going to want to convince you to ride the trend with them. The trend of truth isn't a trend at all. It doesn't change. It's always the same, and it's always belonged to God. Wisdom, the beginning of wisdom, is found in the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 5:20 says this. It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Does that sound familiar at all to you? To what's going on today, how the world is just taking everything good and everything bad and flipping it. It feels like people who are like good Samaritans trying to do good things are going to jail. While criminals who attack those good people are being like exonerated and celebrated. Our culture is flipping things that shouldn't be flipped. Switching good for evil. And Isaiah tells us in this passage, woe to those people. There is a curse upon those people. God is coming with justice swiftly for people who do that and live that way. You can't live in that lifestyle very long until sin catches up to you. And luckily, Jesus is reaching out to all of us saying, I have the truth that you need because I am the truth that you need. Set the world aside and follow me. Allow me to rescue you from the thing that you desperately need rescuing from. But a lot of people don't know they need to be rescued. You know why? Because Satan's already convinced our churches to just be quiet, to just leave them alone. They're not bothering anyone. Instead of standing up and boldly speaking that truth in love. So let's look and see next how today's definition of love goes. Our culture today would tell us that love is a sexual expression, rather a value assessment. Love is about making myself feel good. Whether it be a sexual level, an emotional level, or whatever other degree, the world looks at love as this thing that says, I'm going to make my lists and see who's good for me. I'm going to swipe until I find just the right person. And love is more about shopping for the best thing that could make you better in your life than it is about what Jesus says about love. And if we try to love that way, it's not going to last very long. It's going to break quickly. If our relationships and friendships and families and marriages are built on that type of love, they have no foundation. And all you're going to live for is yourself. Well, Jesus comes along and in Romans 5:8, let's see how God defines this in Romans 5:8. His love was this. It says, but God shows his love. Here's how he shows it. For us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God gave his only son to express love. God's love was sacrificial. God's love was for us. God's love is others-minded. God's love reaches out and says, I'll sacrifice myself and my desires and my wants and my goals and my dreams and everything else for the good of others. I will put others first. And the object of the person you say you love shouldn't be about making you feel good. It should be about loving them in a way that says, I'll sacrifice for you and put myself second for you. That's how God loved us. That's how he shows us how we should love other people. And so if we're going to speak the truth in love in a culture, in a world that says, do you find your own truth, love the way you want to love, love whoever you want to love, however you want to love them, as long as it fits you. It can't get more opposite from how God is showing us what true love actually looks like. It's about putting ourselves second and putting others first. Looking out for the well-being of those in our peer relationships, in our churches, where we work, where we spend our time. How are you loving those people that God has put in your life? How are you sacrificing and putting them first? Remember we said last week that love is this. It is that we are so satisfied in God that we could share his love with others. His love is expressed in sacrifice because we're so satisfied in him. I could sacrifice whatever. Take it all. My hopes and dreams and desires and plans and preferences and opinions and all of those things are so secondary. I can lay them easily on the ground. You know why? Because I am so satisfied in Jesus. I don't need any of it. I have Jesus. What else could I possibly need in my life? And when your heart, when that is your heart, and you're able to look at him and honestly, genuinely from the inside say, Jesus, it's all about you. Then the other can happen. And you can start to lay those things down and love people out of the excess of your satisfaction in Christ. And that's when your relationships will change. That's when your life will change because you're loving people out of that excess and your eyes are fixed firmly on God. And you know what happens when that becomes a reality in your life? You become a leader. You become someone that is so focused on Jesus as you're sacrificing and loving others around you that they experience that and they see that and they follow you toward Jesus. Because that's where you're walking. That's where you're looking. That's where your eyes are fixed. And people notice that and say, like, this is different and this is something I want because this doesn't change every day. It doesn't let me down every single day. It doesn't break me and crush me every day. This is a love that is unlike anything I've experienced. It can actually satisfy me so much that it overwhelms me and pours out onto the people around me. That is how God defines love. Even while we were sinning, he loved us that way. He didn't expect us to come up and be perfect. He doesn't expect us to come up and say, I changed everything, God. Now you can love me. I fixed everything I did wrong. I'm a better person now. Like now I'm worthy of your love, God. He doesn't do that. He looks at me and says, Rob, you're a mess and you're full of sin and you're broken. And you know what? I love you. Just the way you are. So put your eyes on me and let me transform you. Follow me and let me fix you and change you and make you better, make you more like me. That's how it works. We don't come up to him first and say, oh, well, Rob, I would love you, but you know, there's too much going on right now in your life. He looks and says, in the middle of your sin, I'm giving my son to die for you. While you're spitting in my face, Jesus is going to the cross. There's nothing like that in all of the universe. Nothing compares to that type of love. The world's definition is literal garbage compared to that treasure. But here's what the world will do. They're going to look at us and they're going to say, you know what? Well, we need to be tolerant. If you really love people, you need to tolerate people in this tolerance that we're preached to is basically the world's fallen version of godly love. It's like the broken form of it. Like if you really love people, you'll tolerate them and put up with them. When clearly in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks all about what love is. It's patient, it's kind, it endures all things, right? And so they want to say like, hey, listen, so you should just tolerate and put up with whatever their thing is. That's how you really love people. Listen, I'm not saying that we should be a church that gets all these signs and pickets people out in front of Chick-fil-A and like does all this horrible stuff that we hear some churches do who are clearly wrong on the other side of the topic. That's not love either. But we aren't supposed to sit back silent and let people jump off a cliff. We're supposed to love them enough to rescue them from the cliff. And tolerance just isn't the answer. Love is the answer. Well, when we have this toxic understanding of love, some of the results are what we see in our society. Like there's no doubt why these things are here. Suicide, cutting, self-harm, depression, anxiety, all of these things, they're results of a toxic understanding of love. Buying into what the world has told us love actually is, and it results in our destruction when we believe it. There's this like rejection of all of this, like all of the authority that would like, pair itself up against these beliefs. You don't believe what I believe? We can't even have this conversation. Churches are now the enemy of the world because they think we can't have this conversation about identity and sexuality, and the church is the enemy. They've literally paired us up against themselves because we're not tolerant enough. This toxic understanding that they've believed and taken into their philosophy of tolerance, it's made us their enemy. And what the church needs to do is stand up. Instead of yelling and picketing, we need to show them what real love looks like. What if instead of standing outside a Chick-fil-A with a sign, we walked inside the Chick-fil-A, found someone on the other side of the debate, sat with them and bought them a sandwich and told them about Jesus? What if we walked across that bridge and opened up a relationship where we could have the right in their life to say, listen, you're headed to a dangerous place, but I love you. How would the church be different if young believers your age now started standing up in this culture and said, no, we've had enough. We're not going to sit back and tolerate and be quiet in a corner and not bother anyone. We're going to stand up and we're going to love the mess out of this world because they're the ones Jesus came to rescue. They're not the enemy. He came to seek and to save the lost. That's the mission I'm on. Are you seeking and saving the lost? Are you joining Jesus in that and boldly standing up with your friends and saying, listen, the truth you need is only found in Jesus. The love you need is only truly found in Jesus. Or are you taking the easy road and sitting in the corner quiet because the world told you to go there? Would you stand up? Would you have the courage to say yes to Jesus and do the thing he came to do? The Bible is God's definition for truth, and we're not going to find it anywhere else. It's perfect. It's without error. It's good for reproach. That's what 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us. We can open the Bible and see it claims that about itself. It's good for those things. When we're messing up, the Bible is good to take and look at and say, what does my life need to look like? How does my life need to change? This thing that I'm in, how would God say I should handle this and deal with this thing? That's what the Bible's for, right? And it would be absurd. Let's say you're sitting in a math class and someone said, hey, 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4, it equals 6. Unless it's some weird theoretical math class that I don't even understand, right? Most people in that class would not be okay with it. They'd be like, no, it does not equal 6, it equals 4. And there would be this endless debate and food throwing being thrown across the room, and it would just be insanity because no one says that 2 + 2 = 6. It sounds juvenile and ridiculous to even say. But isn't that exactly what culture is saying in different terms about things? Things that are so clear. Things that have been created by the maker of the universe to be a certain way that it is so clear and apparent and true, and we're able to come along and just go, no, we no longer believe that. It's not truth anymore. 2 + 2 no longer equals 4. These obvious things are no longer truth. So if we would be so like passionate about speaking up in that situation. Why would we not speak up in situations all around us where people are believing lies and you're sitting right there with the truth in your heart and in your mind and you're staying quiet? We fight about the dumbest things. And the thing that matters, we find ourselves speechless. Church, stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Speak the truth. Show his love. And that brings us to this last point I want to show you here tonight. It starts off with speak, these three words. We're going to wrap back around to that first word, speak the truth in love. This reveals whether or not we truly believe the truth and whether or not we truly love other people. You might be one of those Christians who thinks, man, as long as I know it for me, as long as I know God's word, as long as I'm saved, I'm good. Or as long as I love people and show them love, I don't really have to do much about that. I can be kind and generous and charitable and all these things, and I'm good. But Paul tells us that's just not the case, because if you actually know the truth, and if you actually love people, it results in speaking. You open your mouth and you let that truth come out in an expression of love, and you tell people the truth. It reveals what you actually believe about it, because what you're doing is you're acting on it. You're living it out. You're standing up for that truth in a way that says, I will boldly proclaim this because I really do believe it. It's not just something I say when I go to youth group, and then when I'm hanging out with this group of friends, like, I say nothing churchy, nothing youth groupy. I don't talk about Jesus. I don't let people know I'm a Christian or a God. I just sit quiet and do my thing and hang with these friends. And for some of us, that might be the same friends we come to youth group with. The second we leave this place, it's just different. But when you believe it, and you really know what God says about truth and about love, then you'll speak it. So my question, I guess, tonight for us is, what holds you back from speaking it? Maybe you do. That's awesome. Keep doing it. Be bold. But I'm sure there are some of us here tonight that would say, I'm not. So if that's you, like, what is holding you back? Is it guilt for the sins in your own life and from feelings of maybe hypocrisy of, like, I'm not good enough to be able to speak to these people, or I have my own problems. How dare I tell these people, because I would be a hypocrite? Because Jesus didn't say, wait till you're perfect to go tell people. Actually, the best example is to say, I am broken. That's why I'm telling you, because I need this just as much as you do. I'm not claiming to be perfect, but I'm telling you, I know someone who is. That's the point of this conversation. Maybe it's feelings of inadequacy or even doubt. Like, I'm not good enough. I won't have the words. I won't know how to say it or what to say. But God says he'll give you the words. Don't worry about what to say. He'll give you the words when you need it. Have the courage to say yes if God tells you to boldly speak. Maybe it's just distractions for you, man, or numbness in your heart. Like, this just isn't important to me right now. I'm too busy thinking about college or friends or next year or even exams or whatever the thing is that is distracting you. You're so focused on something else that you're like, man, when have I actually made the time in my life to be bold with the gospel? To sit down with that friend that God keeps putting in my life and keeps putting right in my path. When will I just sit down with them and have a coffee or a tea or whatever and just say, hey, let's just talk about life, and then let them know what I believe about truth and love and about this Savior Jesus? How many of us are too busy and too distracted and too focused on ourselves, right? Our grades, our scholarships, our colleges, our whatever that might be, right? The sport I'm trying to play next year. Like, all of these things that add up, that fill up our schedule, and we're so busy on us. What if God was like, man, I'm too busy to send my son right now. He's studying for exams. He can't die for you tonight. And God is running the whole universe. He's like, nah, I just don't have time. How dare we look at him and go, God, I don't have time right now. I got too much going on. These things are so important. And I feel like God looks us right in the face and goes, more important than the eternal soul of the people I put in your life for you to share the gospel with? Man. Jesus, wake us up to what's really important. There's a girl, I want you to hear her story. I'm going to show you a quick video, who did a pretty amazing thing, even though she was scared to do it. So check this out real quick. It's amazing the difference that can be made if you have the courage just to speak up. There's a 10-year-old. I wonder what I would have thought if I were her and adults are telling me, like, no, you're crazy. If I would have just listened, like, they know better than me, right? And I'd be convinced and just keep my mouth shut. I wonder how that story would have changed, right? How many of us would find ourselves in a situation like that and not have the courage to stand up? Don't listen to the world. Don't be convinced that you should sit quiet in a corner. When we do stand up and we speak truth in love, people get saved. People are rescued. People might not all want to hear. There might be some that might look at you and say, you're crazy. But God will put you in the path of the people he wants to hear. And he will save people through your obedience if you just have the courage to say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to love people the way you do. I'm going to believe your truth is absolute. And I'm going to be loud about it. I'm going to let people know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father but through you. Will you bow your heads for just a second? We're about to sing a song of worship, and as we do, would you just prepare your heart for a moment and just say a prayer to the Lord and say, God, I believe that your truth is absolute. I believe that your love is sacrificial. God, would you just show me my heart tonight? Show me if that's who I am too. Show me if I really do believe those things.